This week, we're thinking about the stock market and Michael Lewis's new bestseller, Flash Boys. Now, if you've read any of his previous books, from Liar's Poker to The Big Short, you know Michael Lewis is something rare, a writer who can make the arcane world of high finance entertaining. He's done it again with Flash Boys, a riveting account of how high-frequency trading may be corrupting Wall Street. Steve Paulson caught up with him.
Michael, when did you first realize there might be some big ethical problems with high-frequency trading?
The fall of 2012, I was digging around in a story about a high-frequency trading programmer who Goldman Sachs had managed to help get put in jail after he left Goldman Sachs and took some code with him. And because I was doing that story, I had to learn what high-frequency trading was.
But the thing that I found astonishing reading your book is apparently there were lots of major players on Wall Street that didn't know much about high-frequency trading either.
So this is the point that I found kind of so amazing, that the main character of my book is a 30-something-year-old Canadian guy who realizes something is amiss about 2008. The market starts to behave differently than it's behaved before. And he goes on this kind of personal quest to figure out what on earth is going on in this market. How is it structured? When he comes out of this a year later, he has a description of the market that is news to basically all the big investors in America. I mean, the people who run mutual funds and pension funds and hedge funds. I mean, it's not that these people are ignorant. They're aware that there are problems in the market. They're aware that, like, every time they go to buy and sell, all of a sudden it's as if someone is in front of them and knows what they're doing. They're troubled, but they don't have an explanation. They don't know. And the reason they don't know is that the brokers don't tell them.
You'll have to explain what high-frequency trading is. I mean, how does this work?
So high-frequency trading, very broadly, is using computer algorithms to make very, very, very high-speed trades, lots of trades in a very short time, removing the human being from it entirely, except the human being, of course, programs the computer. But high-frequency trading can be everything from actually identifying interesting relationships between securities and betting on those relationships to front-running investors' orders. I mean, so it's not one thing.
When you say front-running investors' orders, how does that work?
Say I want to buy 500 shares of Microsoft at $20 a share. A front-runner finds out I want to do this, goes onto the exchanges and buys the Microsoft at $20 a share and sells it back to me at a higher price.
And this is all
It's scalping. It's like ticket scalping.
And this is all because these computers are set up to somehow detect your order to buy a fraction of a second faster than you can actually make that purchase.
The high-frequency traders are also given privileged access to the stock exchanges and the data from the stock exchanges, so they actually know prices before the official market knows them. They know today's prices, and you and I know yesterday's prices, and we're trading on yesterday's prices.
Now, the thing that's so amazing about the story is how time, milliseconds, matter here. I mean, we're talking a thousandth of a second. That actually is extremely valuable.
It's very hard for the human mind to imagine a millisecond. A millisecond is a thousandth of a second. It takes 100 of them to blink your eye if you're really good at blinking your eye. The stock market, to the naked eye, looks instantaneous. If you go on your computer and trade through your electronic broker, you say, I want to buy some stock or sell some stock, it looks like it happens instantaneously.
Right.
And what you don't realize is that from the point of view of the computer, that isn't instantaneous. It's actually rather slow. And that the computer can have made 1,000 moves in a blink of an eye.
How does the computer do this? I mean, how do these high-frequency traders get this information faster than we can sitting at our own computers?
They get the faster information by paying the stock exchanges to locate their boxes, their computers, right next to the stock exchange box. They pay for what's called direct feeds of what's going on in the 13 public stock exchanges in the United States into their own box and are able to assemble a picture before the official market gets the picture.
So what percentage of trading on the stock market is made up by high-frequency trading?
A bit more than half.
Half. So let's come back to your story, the people that you write about, this young guy, Brad Katsuyama, who's working with the Royal Bank of Canada, and he starts to realize that something is wrong here. What does he do?
Well, you have to kind of understand what his job is to appreciate the predicament he finds himself in. He is the head of stock market trading at this bank. So you're a big mutual fund. You need to sell 1 million shares of Microsoft, and you can't just unload it in the marketplace. So what Brad Katsuyama would do is buy it all in a private deal, and he would take over a period of the day or 2 days, sell it off into the marketplace in a gentle way. His desk has screens on it, and on these screens are the markets for all stocks in the 13 public stock exchanges. And up until 2008, the market on his screens was accurate. So if the market said that there were 50,000 shares of Microsoft offered in the public markets at $20 a share, if he hit the button on his computer, he would just buy 50,000 shares of Microsoft at $20 a share instantly. In 2008, he hits the button, and all of a sudden, the market's not the market. All of a sudden, when he goes to buy Microsoft, the price has gone up. So the market's behaving as if it knows what he wants to do before he does it. He doesn't understand why. So what does he do? He takes his fist and hits the side of his computer. He does what you and I do when our computer screen freezes. He thinks it's the box on his desk right. That's the problem. He then calls tech support. He's a trader. He says, my computer doesn't work. And they say, they don't really know. So the story of this book is him figuring out what on earth just happened. How does the stock market work now?
Now, the thing that's so inspiring about the story of Brad, this young guy who figured this out, is once he finds out what's going on, that he's getting screwed, and lots of other people are as well, he doesn't try to join the system to make big bucks, which obviously he could have. He wants to try to fix it. He thinks this is wrong.
What do you do when you know something other people don't, and you can use it to your advantage to make a lot of money, or you can use it to make the world a fairer place? And he doesn't even think about it. It's just his natural reaction is just go tell people, try to fix the system.
And his attempt is to try to get rid of this millisecond time lag between what the high-frequency traders have access to and what the ordinary investors do.
Yes. They design a button on his terminal that delays the buy signal to the first exchange so that the buy order arrives at all 13 exchanges at precisely the same time within a couple of microsecond window. And this solves the problem. It's his first bid to fix the problem. The big bid is he leaves his job at the Royal Bank of Canada, which pays him millions of dollars a year. He leaves this very secure, high-paying trading Wall Street job to start a business. And the business is a fair exchange, a fair stock exchange. And this is the radical act, because in doing this, he sort of presents the entire financial system with a choice. So he creates a storm, a war. And that's what he's in the middle of now. I mean, this is happening now. A war between investors whose money is being handled, whose stock market orders are being handled, and the Wall Street firms who are handling them with various degrees of inefficiency.
The charge that you have made, a very serious charge, which has caused all kinds of controversy. I mean, you say the markets are rigged.
You know, it's funny that word resonates the way it does. I mean, I can't think of a better word to describe this systematic scalping. What is it when a very small group of people are given inside access of all price movements to which the rest of the investment public is oblivious? It's like every time you go to a horse race, having to bet against someone who knows the result of the race before it's run.
I want to expand this discussion a little bit to step away from high-frequency trading specifically and talk a little bit more about Wall Street in general, because there is this popular perception that Wall Street is fundamentally exploitative, if not actually corrupt. I mean, we all know that the gap between rich and poor keeps growing, and our economic and political system seems to be set up to help Wall Street get richer. Do you see it that way?
It's complicated. So this is how I see it. I think that Wall Street has lost the trust of the rest of society. The problem, though, it's not that Wall Street just attracts every villain on earth and these are just naturally villainous people, because it's not that at all. They're really great people that work on Wall Street. It's the incentive system. The system of incentives is really screwed up. It's really screwed up, for example, for Wall Street firms to make huge sums of money and people to take home huge bonuses, making lots of subprime loans that will never be repaid. It's really screwed up for brokers to get paid lots of money to mishandle stock market orders, and for exchanges to be paid lots of money to sell out most investors to high-frequency traders. I mean, I think that the problem is it's a problem of incentives.
That's Michael Lewis talking with Steve Paulson. Lewis is the author of the number one bestseller, Flash Boys.